Today's sermon is entitled Overtime Pay. It's taken from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34 and 53 through 56. Overtime pay. If I asked everyone here what was your favorite subject in elementary school, I bet you'd all give the same answer. Recess. Recess is what taught us how to tell time. You know, you looked at that oversized clock in the classroom to count the minutes and the seconds until recess. And the way you can tell that recess was your favorite subject is because you didn't pay attention to time while you were enjoying recess. And when the bell rang and recess was over, you were in no rush to get back to the classroom unless you happened to be the child that was picked on during recess. Human beings were made for recess. We were made to take some breaks. Our bodies need rest. That's why God gave us nighttime. Our minds need rest too, which is why God gave us a Sabbath. And educators know that kids need to take breaks. That's why we have recess. And businesses know that employees need breaks. That's why we have vacations, holiday parties, and other celebrations. Moms and dads need breaks, and that's why God gave us babysitters and grandparents. As much as we may enjoy parenting or pastoring or teaching or learning or playing music or whatever our vocation happens to be, we reach a point when we can no longer keep our focus, where we no longer find joy in what we're doing. By about 10 p.m., I find that my attention span is reduced to zero and I need to do something. Why? Because I'm getting tired and I want to play. I want recess. I want to climb on the jungle gym and play on the swings and at least open a game of Minesweeper or something on the laptop so that I'll just get my mind off of business as usual. Jesus understood that it was important to rest, though I wonder if he got enough rest himself. I think that's why he fell asleep in the crowded boat during a storm. That's why he snuck off in the early hours to go and pray. Maybe that's why he spent so much time with the fishermen, because they could hoist anchor and get away from the shore for a while and get a rest. Jesus knew that it was important for his disciples to get a rest also. They were putting a lot of overtime in and as well, healing the sick and casting out demons. And that's why Jesus said to his disciples in today's passage, "Come away to a deserted place where you can rest for a while." But the funny thing is that they don't get away. The crowd figures out where they're going and it ends up arriving there before they do. So much for rest and relaxation. And then compassion gets the better of Jesus, and he goes back into ministry mode. After he has taught the crowd many things, and it's getting late, the disciples try to remind Jesus of their original reason why they had come to this place and what they were supposed to be doing there. "Lord," they say to Jesus, "Lord, this is a deserted place, and the hour is late. Send the crowds home so that they can have dinner." And even though Jesus was aware of how weary his disciples were, he doesn't let them off the hook. Instead, he tells them, "No, you feed this crowd," which they do with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The story gets even a little more humorous as Jesus instructs the disciples after the feeding to go back across the lake, and where they run into a storm in the middle of the lake. And then when they get to the other side of the lake, there's a crowd already gathered there. So they've just pulled an all-nighter, and now they're having to put in even more overtime in healing the sick and the lame and whoever else has gathered around on the other side of the lake. Truth is that Jesus cannot help himself. He is overcome by compassion. He sees the crowds, and he responds to their needs. It's interesting that the Greek phrase that translates "moved by compassion" literally means to have one's bowels yearn. That doesn't translate well into modern English, but it gets the point across that compassion is a feeling that overwhelms the entire body. It's a powerful emotion. It's felt in one's gut. Jesus, despite his own desire for a little rest, he's overcome with this gut feeling to keep him going like the Energizer Bunny, to keep him teaching and feeding the crowd and keep them healing, keeping him doing what he does so naturally, helping people. Compassion is what keeps Jesus going despite exhaustion. What keeps the disciples going? Well, I suppose it really wasn't compassion, but it was rather a devotion to Jesus. I think too often we too, as disciples of Jesus, serve others because we feel that that's what we're supposed to do as disciples, rather than being truly moved by compassion. It's far too easy for us to confine our compassion to shaking our head and saying, "What a shame," and then walking away, telling ourselves that it's someone else's problem or the problem is too big for us to address. We don't have that gut reaction that Jesus had. It's far too easy for us to turn the boat around when we see a needy crowd gathered at the beach and then find a different place where we can moor our boat. We may take a sigh and say, "Well, as a Christian, I'm supposed to do something." But my plea for you this morning is that you be a disciple. Even if you're doing it just because Jesus is doing it, that's a good start. You need to do it until you actually feel human suffering in your gut, so that your response is not just out of obligation as a Christian to do something, but because you really do care deeply, because you do really do feel it viscerally deep down in you, because it upsets your stomach to see suffering, and you're driven to address it even when you only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Because as we engage in helping the poor and sick, as we engage in acts of compassion, as we instruct the world of God's amazing love for them, and as we help people weather the storms of life, we get to understand our own needs more clearly. And when we understand our needs more clearly, when we understand other people's needs more clearly, we understand our own needs more clearly. By this, I mean that you are better able to distinguish between wants and needs. This is our overtime pay for serving Jesus. We recognize what our true needs are. You know, our culture is a very want-oriented culture. Most products that we see advertised are things that address our wants rather than our needs. We're shown all the wonderful things that can happen to us, how we'll be the center of attention and have endless fun with whatever it is that they advertise. And our egos say, "I want it. It's on sale for a limited time. Let me go out and buy it." And all those things that we want do nothing but divert us. They draw attention away from the suffering of others' experience, and they guard us from feeling true compassion for those who can't even secure what they need, let alone what they want. But when we connect with those who have real needs, we gain a clearer picture of our own needs. When we were in Haiti, in Percy, we had no cable television, no cell phone signals. Did we need it? Well, no, not at all. Neither did the people that we helped. No one in the community that we served had a car. None of them had a game console. None of them had ever been to Orlando. None had ever, some of them had never even left the mountain on which we dwelled. They didn't have many of the things that we find so entertaining and enjoyable, but they did have something that I think many of us don't have. They had a true sense of community. They cared deeply for one another, and they knew how to truly welcome strangers. If there was an illness that took the life of a child's parents, someone in the community offered to care for that child. And if they saw that you had a need, they would take care of that need. Many people in the village invited us into their house, which was a simple shack, smaller and simpler than many of our tool sheds. But they just wanted to address our needs and to feel welcome. As we were walking on some of the steep slopes of the mountains, going from one family shack to the next, young children would walk up to us and prompt us to hold their hands as we walked. And we thought that was simply a kind gesture, but we soon learned that they were trying to help us because we were not as adept as they at walking along these steep dirt paths. And there were several occasions when a small child prevented a big grown-up from literally biting the dust. The community recognized our need and did their best with the limited resources they had to fill those needs. And living in a place where we were so deprived of so many of the convenient things that we want, it helped us appreciate truly the things that we need. I came back with a sense that the spirituality of the people in Percy was far richer than most of us in terms of the things that really matter in life. I think they had a greater sense of compassion than many of us. Though they did not have an abundance of things, they were living what Jesus calls the abundant life. Which brings me to the note card that I handed out today. You might have been puzzled by the second question, what is something that you may need to give up in order to gain something that you truly need? There are so many things that we have that interfere with our spiritual growth. Maybe we have to get rid of some of them. So I want you to think about what's missing in your life, something that is a real need, and what might you have to change or eliminate in order to gain it. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given you as well. Seek God, and seek to serve God, and seek to love like God, and all your needs will be taken care of. Once you have identified the needs and the change you might need to undergo to satisfy those needs, ask yourself, how can the church help you satisfy those needs? We're all in the same boat as far as our desire to seek the kingdom of God. We need to help one another in this search. So what can the church provide you to help you in that pursuit? You may identify yourself if you want. It might help me in addressing your need more directly, whether it be helping you to give up something that prevents you from gaining what you need, or something that addresses your need specifically. Chances are someone else in the congregation has the same need, and chances are the church has the resources to address that need. That's what we're going to try to do. So I pray that you would get acquainted with your own needs and address them. It better equips you as a disciple of Jesus when it comes to identifying and addressing the needs of others. Let us pray.